It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. WFO Radio is on the air. We're on Facebook and we're on YouTube and we're getting the podcast going, and it's all happening following the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals, race one of the 70th anniversary season of NHRA drag racing. It was mega. I mean, big crowd, great racing, action packed. And on this show, we're going to hear from J.R. Todd, funny car winner. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, isn't Tuesday the Reinhardt day? And it is usually the Reinhardt day, except Reinhardt got his flight canceled and a bunch of stuff, and J.R. was ready. And so we're starting big, baby. We're starting with J.R. Todd. He's going to join us just seconds from now. If you're out there, share the show. If you love Coletta Motorsports or NHRA drag racing, share, retweet, get it out there. Let's do it, because we have got a big show. And we're going to try to catch up with all the winners in the next couple of weeks. I do want to tell you about the people who make it possible for me to do this show. People like Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Matt Hartford and team laid down some pretty strong passes, especially first round on Sunday. Had a problem with a line lock and rolled the beam a little bit. But bottom line, we got new episodes of Hidden Horsepower. We've got all kinds of good stuff. Go to TotalSeal.com and find out what the next set of rings for your race car are going to be. TotalSeal.com. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. They've got a Dragster Adventure this week, like Friday, the 19th. Check out Dragster Adventure on FrankHawley.com, and you can drive a dragster, and who knows, maybe you'll get bitten by the bug and you want to do it professionally, or at least a lot more often. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. They are down there in Houston, Texas, and they are educating the next generation of mechanics and engineers and CNC programmers and who knows, maybe even crew chiefs. And of course, my buddy Marvin Rodak, who is like roasting coffee like a madman, getting ready for the Funny Car Chaos 64 Funny Car event at the Texas Motorplex that is coming up, which I think Del Worsham is now going to race. Like, amazing event that's happening at the Motorplex, Funny Car Chaos. Marvin Rodak is a big sponsor, and he is also a big sponsor of WFO Radio. So you want to support drag racing, support Marvin, get yourself some coffee, some hot sauce, some spice rub. And our friends at Nitrofish, they got our 10th anniversary t-shirts and WFO gear. All right, let's not go any further without bringing on the Funny Car winner out there at the 52nd annual Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals, Mr. J.R. Todd. What's up, J.R.? Congratulations.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I heard you say that I'm filling in for Reinhardt today, so I guess I got some huge shoes to fill.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm sure he's going to like that. But really, it's just, you know, he got his flight canceled and you guys were willing to do it. And I always thought that, you know, maybe we you know, have a driver first could be a big thing. And Reinhardt always likes to be first. So today you're first. And I think deservedly so. You entered a really exclusive club. I wonder, do you know about this? Drivers who have won a world championship and the remaining crown jewel events, the Big Go, the Winter Nats, the Finals, and the Gator Nats. Rare club: Snake, Kenny Bernstein, Cruz Force, Height, Beckman, you have won all those races. Like, that's rare air.
Yeah, anytime that I hear some stats like that and the names you get mentioned with, it's definitely a surreal feeling, because, you know, a lot of those guys are guys that I looked up to when I was a kid racing junior dragsters. Never imagined ever being a professional racer and then adding my name to a list with guys like that. It's pretty awesome, but I definitely couldn't do it without you know, the team that I have behind me with the DHO Yellow Fellows. They definitely make my job a lot easier than what it is, what it needs to be, you know.
Oh, I can imagine. All right, let's watch the final round, courtesy of Fox, the big first show. And just, you know, I like to think that the sport is always being introduced to new people. And you go out there and get the job done. Let's watch the final round on Fox, your interview with Amanda, and then talk about your round by Brian Lones, Tony Pedregon. And this, look at this, the pedal fest. Wind light on for JR. The guy's going crazy on the starting line.
Well, JR, you talked about the struggle you had at this track, and you earned that Gator Nationals. Describe the accomplishment you feel.
It's amazing to be Among the legends, among the legends that have won this race, this is Don Garlick's country down here in Gainesville. I'm trying to become a Florida resident myself. Don't want to go back to Indy tomorrow. But no, first off, I got to thank the legend himself, Connie Coletta, for giving me this opportunity to earn one of these trophies. And today was tough. I mean, Robert Height, no offense to all the other drivers out there, but in my opinion, he's the best driver out here. And that team, they set the benchmark for the rest of us. And man, it went out there and blew the tires off in the DHL Toyota Camry. And I thought, oh man, here we go. And just kind of rolled into the throttle, and he never came by us. And here we are holding another world gold, man.
Woo! Woo! Just like that. Now, I we didn't get to see it, but when you jumped out of the car and you got up on the rear spoiler and you did like some sort of a pose down thing, man, that was cool. If I had never seen drag racing, I would have thought, wow, that guy's fired up. I want to watch a little more.
Yeah, that's when you see that win like come on in the final round after an you know, exciting pedal fest like that. And you can't wait to get out of the car and celebrate. And yeah, that's I don't know. I was trying to come up with something different to do. We were in Gator country winning the Gator Nationals, and I thought I'd give a little Gator clap to the camera there, but I don't know if they showed it or not on the TV show. But yeah, that's I don't like, I shouldn't say I don't like, I'm just not a fan of when drivers, you know, win a big race, whether it's Indy or Pomona or Gainesville, and just like ho-hum about it. Like, I feel like you got to live in the moment and be excited, because those are really hard races to win. And those opportunities, they don't come around very often.
Well, exactly. And people like to see other people be excited and good things happen. Like, you know, good things happening to the average person out there is what? You're not winning big drag races, that for sure. You know, maybe you get, you know, a rebate or a coupon in the mail, or like, who knows? I'm just making stuff up. But when you win the Gator Nationals, man, you better be excited, and you were, and that was cool. We got people checking in out there on social media. We're on Facebook right now. Go for Joe. Derek says WFO, what's up? And hey, Joe from Orlando. We got everybody checking in. Everybody is fired up, talking about various things. Now, the bad news of the day, if it is bad news, maybe it's good news, who knows, is that Pomona has been postponed till later on in the year. Oh, this guy wants to bring up your hair, and he's right. Different haircut, JR. I like it, though, and it's one for one, so got to stick with it.
That's why I have a hat on right now, Joe. Unless I get up in the morning and throw some conditioner in my hair or something, it looks like a mess, especially after having your helmet on and a gas mask and a hat all day at the racetrack. But, yeah, it's something different. I wouldn't call it a haircut, maybe a lack thereof. But it started going back to Gainesville last year, you know, when the pandemic hit. Under quarantine, I quit cutting my hair. Then since then, I've let the top grow and haven't touched it. Just go in and get the sides trimmed up whenever. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's working out so far. It's definitely a different look. So we'll see.
One for one. Okay. Marvin Rodak out there wants to know what Connie said to you. Like, you know, you deliver a big win like that to Conrad. And, you know, I was there when, you know, he and Scott and just seeing the amazing history at the Gator Nationals. Just a dumb personal story, eating breakfast next to Connie Coletta in the Holiday Inn and sometime in the 80s. And, you know, you're a kid. It's like, there's the guy right there. You know, it's just amazing to continue to deliver for Connie Coletta. It's got to be very special.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's definitely had success at the Gators, and especially here recently with his own car, you know, winning 2 years back to back with Richie Crampton and going to the final round again this past Sunday with Sean. I thought for sure we were going to be able to finally pull off the double, which that's never happened in Coletta Motorsports history. And I feel like this year maybe the chance that we finally get that opportunity to pull that off. I thought it was going to happen there in Gainesville, but a lot of times, depending on how the dragsters do, whether it's, you know, Dougie's still in or Sean, sometimes if they're both out early and the funny car wins, they're already jetted off and out of there, and I don't get to see Connie. But, you know, since he was in the final and we were able to win the race, and, you know, the whole winner circle situation being different now that we do it in our pit area, it was cool to have him there celebrating with us and taking pictures with us. And, you know, anytime that he comes up and tells you that that you did a great job, that's what you need to hear at the end of the day.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, the feeling, like, speaking of feelings, feeling of winning a race, the feeling of making a legend like Connie Coletta happy, excited, you know, validating all the expense and all the hard work that goes in and all the people. He doesn't have to do this. He loves it. And he loves this even more. But yeah, I agree on the double up thing. We were going to have a great story no matter what. Josh Hart winning his first race ever. How crazy is that? Or the Coletta double up. And, you know, the racing gods, they are fickle. They are challenging. Josh Hart, you know, not for Josh Hart, right? He shows up to one and he's a winner. How weird.
Yeah, you know, you win one of the biggest races of the year, your first ever Top Fuel start, your home race. The stars definitely lined up for him there on Sunday. And I told him, man, you'll never forget this one, that's for sure. And he may still be in shock after winning that one. He was pretty calm and collected, it seemed like, throughout the whole day, just seeing, you know, little snippets of his interviews and, you know, and I did there on Sunday. It was definitely bittersweet seeing him win, but I kind of, you know, put myself in his situation to win. You know, I won my first ever Top Fuel event, and that's a special feeling that nobody can take away from you.
Let's talk about you round by round. We've seen the final round, but it wasn't an easy day. Round one, you had to go through Blake Alexander, and you guys threw down a 393, and just building that momentum. I spoke with Jono and I spoke with Todd over the course of the day, and they felt pretty confident. They felt pretty good about where they were coming out. You know, you guys qualified sixth, but it's always nice to turn on that first win light of the day.
Yeah, that first win light of the year, you know, 4 months off, yeah, or however long it was, that almost seems like it's been a year. But yeah, you get those kind of butterflies, pre-race jitters when it's the first race day of the season. Then after that, you hope you can keep going, you know, get that adrenaline pumping. And after that, just everything becomes routine. But yeah, the way our testing went down in West Palm the week before the Gainesville event, we just kind of struggled. And I wouldn't say that I wasn't confident, just didn't feel like we were where we wanted to be or needed to be with the DL Toyota Camry. And then we went and tested Wednesday in Gainesville and made some pretty good runs there. Just needed to go down the track more than anything. But our runs definitely weren't up there with, you know, the Force cars and Caps and some of those guys. But at the end of the day, I think those runs that we made there in the heat on Wednesday may have helped us there, you know, Sunday afternoon in eliminations on the win there.
I wasn't able to get down there. I was in Orlando for the World Door Slammer Nationals. But how was the test? Like, fans showing up? Were you well received down in West Palm? Because we love that. I love that you got a little closer to South Florida, where I believe there are thousands and thousands of Nitro fans. You know, maybe they don't all go up to Gainesville, which I would love for them to do, but they probably came to see you. How did that go?
I thought it went really well. You know, I love that part of the world. I've been looking at houses and condos and in Jupiter, West Palm Beach area for a while now, and to go out there to the track and test. I mean, I haven't been there since maybe 2013, 14, somewhere around that area. So it was cool to go back there and then to be able to test. It's almost like a national event with all the fans out there. That's the one cool thing. Like you said, we don't get the race in that part of the country. So a lot of the fans that maybe aren't even really familiar with you know, NHRA Cape World Drag Racing Series, they get a little glimpse of it. Maybe they'll come up to Gainesville or other races down the road. So it was nice to be able to go out there and test, but it didn't feel like a test, so to say, with all the people out there, for sure.
You definitely need to move to Florida, JR, if you hate the cold, number one. And number two, we've got a lot of drag strips here. You know, we race all year long. We're in the wintertime. But you know what we don't have that you love? We don't have a lot of sprint car racing. We don't have that.
Yeah, I know. It's funny you say that, because when we were testing out there at West Palm, one of my good buddies who happened to win the World of Outlaw race the other night, David Gravel, he lives in Jupiter. It's funny, you know, having a wing sprint car guy live in that part of the world where there's relatively no dirt tracks. But I know there's some in the state that they get the race, you know, the beginning part of the year when it's still snowing and cold here, because I'm usually watching on Dirt Vision or Flow Racing. But yeah, that's something I'm probably willing to sacrifice for warm sunshine and the beach, for sure.
The beach, baby. I tell everybody, I love racing, but it's very tough. It's a very tough challenge spending time on the beach. Normally, not when the spring breakers are here. I'm avoiding it right now, as you can imagine. Second round, Tim Wilkerson, who, you know, Wilk, feeling kind of strong. Wilk, number three qualifier, the second half of last year, was running quick and fast, but you guys were consistent. 93 first round, 94 second round, beats his 97 to punch your ticket to the semifinals.
Yeah, I was a little worried about Racing Wilkerson there, second round. He seems like he always does well at that race. I know that, you know, he's been the handful of finals there the last few years, and that was another good run for us. That was kind of right in line with where we ran on Wednesday. So I feel like when the conditions are like that, that Todd Smith and Jono, they get, you know, pretty smart about not getting outside the box and just not beating themselves and racing what they think the track will allow.
Semifinals, you're going up against Cruz, and that's a totally different Cruz-Pedregon team, which is, you know, interesting. And we know that JC and that whole Tommy Johnson Make-A-Wish team went over there. And so racing them is going to be different, right? It's like you're racing Tommy Johnson, except you're racing Cruz. Bottom line, though, you guys got down and they did not. 397, and it was hot because it's a different kind of semifinal time. We were on that a fast-paced turnaround for live TV. Everybody on hustle all day long, but we got it in on Fox Network, which was a big deal for you, especially making max runs to set up the final round against Robert.
Yeah, to go back what you said about those live TV turnarounds, that is tough, man. That's almost worse than having you know, weather come in and making us turn around. It was quick, and I didn't have time to eat or anything like that between mixing fuel, packing the chutes. And I'm not complaining at all because the guys work on the car. I mean, they work a lot harder than I do. It's just you barely have time to catch your breath before you're towing up there for the next run. But, yeah, back to Cruz and JC and Rip and those guys. That's basically, like you said, Tommy Johnson, just Cruz replacing him. And I think once they start gelling together, they already ran well the first race out of the gate, that they're definitely going to be one of the teams that you're going to have to be reckoned with all season long. Because TJ, I mean, it seems like every race they're going to the later round. He's always there at the end of the year battling out for a championship, and I don't see how it's going to be much different with Cruz driving.
Yes, exactly. And someone mentioning Todd Smith being from Cooper City. Yes, Todd. Well, not anymore. He moved a little further, closer to the beach is what he did. He moved closer to the beach. But Todd Smith is one of the few, the only Nitro crew chief has been inside our WFO radio studios. And we'll do that again at some point after the pandemic is over. But yeah, Todd is a South Floridian and I'm sure is pushing his lifestyle all over you.
Hey, yeah, I definitely have some incentives to move that area. I mean, I know quite a few people in the West Palm Beach, South Florida area. So it's not like I'll be a total stranger down there. That's for sure.
So let's talk the final. We've already seen it, but controlling the chaos when you both go up in smoke, it's like this dramatic moment. We're all like expecting. You got Jimmy Prock on one side and you've got Todd and Jono on the other side. Everybody's loaded up and the cars are going to go down and it's going to be epic, except no, everybody stepped over the line. And now it's between you and Robert. Figure out just how to get it from here to there. And that is, it's so awesome when it happens. What about when you're inside the car and you obviously, you got it to settle down and you took the stripe?
Yeah, it's exciting when it works out in your favor as a driver, but it's pretty hectic inside the car. You got your mind out to slow everything down for you in those, you know, few seconds of all that going on. I mean, you hit the gas. And to back up, you know, we went 97, which I didn't know where that was going to rank until, you know, Robert and I think Aska that ran in the semis after us, and they both had cylinders out and made okay runs, but we were quicker and had lane choice, and we were pretty excited about that going into the final. But the track prep kind of changes for the final round compared to the earlier round, just because, you know, you got the bikes and pro stock cars running right in front of you, and they don't like the same track prep that we like. So and then you got the live TV. They just don't have time to make it exactly the way that the Nitro cars would prefer it. But hey, we're all in the same boat. You got to deal with it. So yeah, you go up there and hit the gas and you feel smoke the tire, spin the tires, and instinct is get off the pedal as soon as you can. And that's when your mind has to, you know, tell your foot and go back on the throttle. You just got to take a deep breath, basically, and let it slow down, let the wheel speed slow down, let the car calm down, and then kind of roll into the throttle, which is really hard to do as well, because once you crack the throttle blades on injector, there's so much vacuum they're trying to suck them, you know, wide open right away. So it's hard to not go all the way down on the throttle, because usually when you do that, you spin the tires again. So it just takes a lot of patience, and I don't know. There's no way to practice it, really, because you don't go out there and testing to try and set the car up to smoke the tires, just so the driver can practice pedaling it, because usually you're going to tear up parts, and Connie's going to yell at us, and that's never good. So the only time you can really practice it is on race day, and you don't try to smoke the tires on race day either. So it just comes with seat time, and more than anything, you got to be more lucky than good, I think.
Well, you know, you mentioned the vacuum. It's something that we don't think about all the time. That supercharger forcing air in. Well, where's it pulling the air? It's sucking it in there. And I can imagine it wants to do these things. They want to go fast. The horse wants to run, right? And you got to control it. Well, you did a great job. You got the stripe. You got the race. You won the first race of the year. Normally, you guys heat up like a little bit before Indy, right? Like that's when the DHL guys. Is this unusual for you to be first out with a big win? It's got to change the dynamic a little bit. You're already on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. For whatever reason, it just seems like we always have gotten off to a slow start with the DHL Toyota, whether, you know, it's testing, not making the runs consecutively and consistently like we'd like, and just kind of, you know, not having the results that we would typically want there at Pomona and Phoenix or Gainesville, which I, for whatever reason, I've never done well at Gainesville. And I never realized how bad we were in the funny car until someone told me after winning the race. But just for whatever reason, things haven't gone our way at the beginning of the year. And hopefully this is a good sign of things to come. You know, going into Vegas, I think that's going to be our next race. We've done really well, especially at that event in the past. So hopefully we can ride that wave of momentum and keep that DHL team where it needs to be up there at the top.
Yeah, the four wide Vegas, April 16th through 18th. I'm excited about it. You know, who knows what the limitations will be, et cetera, and so on. Pomona just announced it is postponed. From what I understand, there's a huge vaccination site on the property. There's a bunch of different things going on. So they're going to try to push it back later on in the year. You see it. Everything is getting better. We're directionally correct, to quote like a Jason Lyon-ism. But we're not there just yet. And so I understand it. And by the way, if we can only have a small percentage now, but we could have a larger percentage later on in the year, that makes sense to me. So I'm okay with it, but it's going to be basically a month until Vegas.
Yeah, it's just, it's a bummer having that much time off. I mean, you as a driver, I always want to get in a rhythm of things, you know, stay in the seat and just kind of work on different things like reaction times and what have you. And then when you have a 4 weeks off, it's kind of like starting the season over again. But I'm not complaining after, you know, coming off a win. And like you said, hopefully we can have bigger crowds at these events as the year goes on. You know, I'm not sure what the limitations are going to be there in Vegas, but if Gainesville is any sign of things to come, we're definitely going in the right direction, because Gainesville was awesome. That was almost like the old Gainesville there. There was a lot of people there, and it was exciting. That shows that drag racing still has life out here, and the fans love it. So those of you that are watching, maybe that haven't been to an event, you definitely need to come out and check us out and spread the word. And as far as Pomona, it's weird not starting off the season there, but as long as we can get it in, I'm all for it, especially having people in the stands out there in Southern California.
A lot of people were talking about maybe Gainesville should start the season permanently, so you don't have two Pomona races within 3 months of one another, and you could space it out a little bit. I'm not advocating for that, because I like the traditional East Coast opener role, but it does make sense. And the fans showed up. In fact, like, that felt like a Gator Nationals. It was pretty great. And a lot of people were wearing their face coverings and doing the right thing. Some weren't, but that's their choice. We're outside. It just felt great. It was like a window to the future world. Like, we can get back to this. People still love drag racing.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, judging by that race, you wouldn't think there was any wrong going on in our country or in the world. You know, just everybody's either happy to see us, and we are happy to see them, and you know, signing autographs and having the fans cheering for you after the warm up and things like that. It was just like days of old. So yeah, that's what we want to see, because last year it was good to the small crowds he had at these events, but it was also like kind of like a test session, you know, just not the huge crowds cheering for you and what have you, and just had a different feeling. But Gainesville had that, like I said, old school normal race feeling. So once we get back to that, that's gonna be good for everybody in the Cape World Drag Racing Series.
Tell me about the Rowdy Energy deal. That was a big deal. I like the idea of cross-pollination between the motorsports, and I think it brings legitimacy and credibility when fans of racing, NASCAR fans, you know, they got a lot of fans over there. Kyle Busch in particular has fans, and like, oh, there's my brand that my guy does, and he's on something else. Let me watch that. It's as simple as that. How did that all come together? And it seems pretty cool.
It's kind of weird how it all came together. You know, I'm really good buddies with Rico Abreu, who, you know, signed on with Rowdy Energy right there at the Chili Bowl Nationals. And, you know, the guy that he had worked with helped put that together, Frank Bolter. You know, Rico had mentioned me to him, and one thing led to another. He got back to Kyle, and Kyle's like, hey, I want to, you know, make this happen. And sure enough, he's on board at Coletta Motorsports. And, you know, it was kind of hard to make deals like this happen in the past with the series sponsor. But now that we got Camping World on, you know, Rowdy Energy is at all Cape World locations, so it's a great tie. And then with you know, Kyle Busch and Toyota, it's just all these things connected the right way. And I thought it was really cool at the final, go look at my phone, and it was right before the start of the Cup race out there in Phoenix that I had a text from Kyle Busch just congratulating me and saying how pumped he was and excited to be a part of the Rowdy family.
That's great. That's exactly it. You know what I think, JR, and we haven't spoken a lot about it. We're talking about you and Sean. I know you guys both, this is your life. You want this to go well. You want it to grow, like to cover a little distance between where we are and where Kyle Busch is right now. That would be great for all of us. And you guys are always thinking of ideas. Like, I think we need to be ready with a plan for growth when things get back to normal, because we got the Camping World deal. You're talking about beverages are now allowed. We've got a lot of cross-pollination. It's very exciting about, you know, what's possible when we come out of this, which is happening soon, but hopefully we'll get to throw down some cool ideas and bring in more relationships like you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like going and checking out Rowdy Energy on social media and seeing you know, all the different people that that they're behind, it's you know, branching out outside of motorsports. I'm more lucky to be one of the few motorsports teams that are involved with them, so I think that's what Cape World drag racing needs to get to that next level up there with the NASCAR guys and IndyCar guys and what have you, which, I mean, that's where all us drag racers want to be. So hopefully this is just a small step in making that happen.
Absolutely. And in many ways, you know, they are definitely, but not better, just different, right? We're more of this grassroots style sport. We got all the Lucas Oil Series racers racing at the same time, which we love. Hey, this guy's got a question for you. Bringing back a Funny Car versus Top Fuel style shootout race. Is that something you'd like to do? It wasn't the Big Bud Shootout, by the way. It was like the No Bull Showdown, or it was a Winston themed thing down in Bristol. But Top Fuel versus Funny Car. Would you guys like to do that again?
I'm all for, you know, specialty events. I mean, we have the 4Y, which is not really a specialty event. I mean, it's part of the point series now. But, yeah, if we could have some one-off events like that, you know, before the showdown race you're talking about, they had the Bud Select or the Winston Select event there at Rockingham. Just anything like that to help draw attention and, you know, high-paying purses, maybe no points. Whatever, just I think change is good for the sport, and I'd love to be a part of that. I mean, I wasn't around driving wise when that deal was going on in Bristol, but it was a cool event, you know, Top Fuel cars versus Funny Cars, and I'd love to try that again.
That's awesome. All right, now I want to bring up something. Now I'm on the starting line. You know, Michael James is a friend and crew member and great guy, and you know, when the wind light came on, you know, tears in his eyes, and 13 years since all of your mutual friend, Eric Medlin, passed away at Gainesville Raceway in a test session. And, you know, for those of us who cover the sport, covered Eric Medlin, it's very different than for you guys who lost a, you know, a good friend, a mentor, a fun guy. And to think about how that was wrapped into your victory, like, man, when you think of it and Gainesville Raceway and how they're connected, I'd just like to, you know, highlight that and focus on it for a moment, because that was a good day for fans of Eric Medlin and for friends of Eric Medlin, that you guys got to like have something positive happen on an anniversary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time I roll into town in the Gainesville, that's probably the first thing I think of is Eric, you know, just, you know, what happened there, and, you know, spending time at the hospital there after his accident. Just, a lot of memories go through my mind every time we go to Gainesville. And ever since that happened, this has been one of the races that I've wanted to win so bad, just to kind of honor his memory. You know, I was really lucky to win the first race after his accident that year in 2007 at Houston. I wanted to win that race really bad, just because of what happened, and, you know, everybody was down and out, and just wanted to be able to give that trophy to his mom and dad, and was able to do that. So from then till now, Gainesville has been at the top of my priority list to win. Was able to win Sonoma with him, and then was able to win there again in Funny Car. Just a lot of special things that have happened since his passing, and to now to finally add Gainesville to that list. And it's a special place for sure, and one that, you know, I think when we all go there to race, we always think about Eric.
Before the Daytona 500, that, you know, 20 years since Dale Earnhardt's passing, there was a great bit about a documentary about all the safety advancements that came since the passing of Dale Earnhardt on the stock car side, of course. And I can't help but look at the cockpit of your funny car or any nitro car at all, and I think about Eric Medlin and the same like rush to safety happened after that, all the protection that you guys now have and the poured seats and everything. And I really feel like we really made sure to try to avoid anything like that from happening in the future. You guys are going 330 miles per hour. It's never going to be like safe. But when you get in your car and you have all that stuff around you, I would imagine you feel like, you know, he's directly influencing your driving right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, due to his accident and the sacrifice that he made, these things are way safer now than they were 14 years ago by any means. I mean, that is all thanks to or big thanks to his dad, John Medlin. I believe we didn't have head pads, but I know we had head pads, but I don't think they were mandatory back then. We didn't have seat inserts. Those became mandatory. We went from, you know, 5-point belts to 7 and 9-point harnesses. Just a lot of things have changed, and I feel like they're constantly evolving over the years, and we're always trying to find ways at Club Motorsports to make our cars safer. And, you know, Slugger with TRD and everybody at Toyota Racing, they're always helping out in that aspect as well. And yeah, a lot of that probably wouldn't have happened if it weren't for Eric's accident, for sure.
Yes. And so congratulations to you for being able to, you know, win at a place that you wanted to win on an anniversary that meant a lot to you, and the start of the season with a new title sponsor and so many people like eager to see drag racing at all. And for you to do such a good job in the winner's circle with that big fist pump, that's awesome. I hope you have many more of those, and I hope we get to talk a lot more this year. So what do you got planned? Like, what are you going to do now? You got a month till the next race in Vegas. So what happens? What's up? You going to, you know, today's Pat Galvin's birthday, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but what are you going to do?
Well, I'm not celebrating Galvin's birthday today, that's for sure. Still recuperating from Gainesville. But now, like you said, this much time off, we definitely have some things to do. I have a video game competition this weekend with Langdon and Ryan Hunter Ray through DHL. So that's something we have to do, I believe, on Sunday. There's some dirt track events coming up. The Bristol dirt track has already kicked off. So probably going to check that out as much as I can online. Maybe go to the Bristol Cup race, because I have some buddies competing in that. Obviously, want to go support them. But just, I don't know, relax for the most part. Maybe go come down to Florida and check out some more condos in the meantime as well. I'm hoping to find a place and be moving here in the next, you know, year or so.
Do it. Do it. Definitely. You got to do it. No offense, Indiana. Sorry, but it's different. You don't have the beach. You got drag racing, but you don't have the beach. JR, you can fly. You can Zoom. You can do all the stuff on the social from where you are. You'll be a lot more relaxed and it will be great. And hey, if you go to the cup race at Bristol, which I think you should do, that's a historic first. How crazy is that going to be? I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, right before I got online with you, I, you know, downloaded the update for iRacing since I've been gone for 2 weeks and the Bristol dirt tracks on there. So I can't wait to get on here and try it out. But yeah, that should be exciting with the cup cars there. There's definitely going to be some ringers, I think, with, you know, guys like Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, you know, who have the dirt track sprint car experience. And then a few of my buddies who have never been in a cup car, Chris Windham, you know, he's a triple crown champion in USAC, so I think that he stands a chance in the format that they're going to have there. But it definitely should be exciting for all the fans to watch for sure.
Well, and I'm wondering, you know, my sprint car knowledge isn't so great, but there were some analogies made to the road course ringers back in the day. You know, when there were two road courses in NASCAR, they would go get like Boris said and throw him in the car because at least he could get around. These cars are so heavy, though, JR, heavy and on the banking on the dirt. I don't know what's going to happen. Are they just going to go around or are we going to have a mess? This, you know, 38 car or like how's this going to go down? What am I going to see?
I don't think these guys know what's going to happen. You know, it's cool how the format is. They're going to have heat races just like a normal dirt track. And I think they're lining up off a bind draw and then utilizing passing points, which that's kind of how the Chili Bowl format is. So it's pretty exciting how they're going to light up the feature, but I think it's also 250 laps or something like that, which that's a long time on a dirt track. So it's probably going to start out like a dirt track, brown, but by the end of it, it'll look like a pavement track. I guarantee you that.
They're going to get down to the concrete, I guess. Well, we'll see.
And they won't get down to the concrete. It's just that laps on dirt. It just makes it so black and shiny. It begins to take rubber and looks like a pavement track, but either way, I guess there's going to be some tore up cars and whoever comes out of there with the W, they're going to have to earn that one for sure.
Well, I applaud NASCAR for doing something totally different and getting way out of their comfort zone to try something interesting and exciting. And we can learn from that and we should learn from that. Maybe not dirt drag strips or anything. I'm not trying to send you sand drag racing, but you get my point.
Yeah, I grew up not far from a sand drag trap there close to Edgewater, and I've never done it, but there were some junior dragsters that would go do it back in the day. I remember like seeing how dirty their cars got after that. So I don't think we want to take our funny car out and do some sand dragging with it. But Mark Oswald, he might disagree with me on that.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Well, one question's coming up. I got to ask you. Everybody wants to know about the Nomex effect. Like, when is it coming back? I'm sure you're hearing this from everybody, including the WFO listeners. What is the status of the Nomex effect?
Well, if you can see the floor behind me right now, you can see all the equipment's laying there because I'm getting ready to put it all up online for sale. So there's your answer to that.
Wow, that's it. The Nomex effect is no more. You guys can come on WFO whenever you want and share your opinions. And then I'll handle all the busy work. People don't realize podcasting is like a lot of busy work behind the scenes.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work, and Sean and I are definitely no technicians when it comes to figuring out all this equipment. But I'm not saying that it's dead. But if we ever wanted to do it, I mean, we have access to studios here in Indy. Our new sponsor, Fatheads Eyewear, Rico Elmore, he has a pretty awesome podcast studio at his shop there that he said we could come use anytime as well. So there's never say never, but yeah, right now just I need this room for other things in a podcast studio.
I like it. I like, well, you're going to be out of there soon anyway. When you get your condo, just leave a little space in the corner, you know, with a camera and some stuff in the background, you're good to go. JR, thank you very much. Congratulations. Whole lot of fun. Like for me, just being back at the track was a big, big deal. Being back at the Gator Nationals and feeling that feeling with a good crowd and a lot of people watching you go out there and get it done. That was awesome stuff. Thank you for spending time with us here on WFO.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
All right. Later, JR. Be well. There he goes. JR Todd with us here on WFO Radio. And, you know, just a big event, a big event. All right, everybody, get your comments in the comment section. Final comments for WFO. And I'm going to run over a couple of things. I already did mention, you know, happy birthday, Pat Galvin. Pat Galvin out there's birthday. Also, Nick Salamone, who Nick, who was a big sponsor of WFO in the early days with his yourvelocity.com company and helped get us to where we are today. I had a great event, but it was also a chaotic event. And I will tell you a little bit about that momentarily. And if you have any final questions, you can put them up. But I do want to send a shout out to the people who make it possible for me to sit around and do this show, like Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Go to frankhawley.com, drive a dragster, do it this year. The dragster adventure happening this week at Gainesville Raceway. Go to frankhawley.com if you're in the area. Why would you not? And samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. They've got block, head, CNC program, motorsport, EFI, tuning. If you want to be involved in this business, that is a great way to get started. Marvin Rodak, Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, hot sauces and spice rubs and everything good. And I am enjoying a little Rodak's coffee today. And it has been fantastic. Got me fired up. And Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, TotalSeal.com. Go to the website. New Hidden Horsepower episodes coming out all the time. And if you are a podcast listener, you should subscribe to WFO Radio on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you can hear the Ignition Show, which so many people love, but also Hidden Horsepower, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and write a review. If you're an engine guy, you're going to love it. If you're just a race fan and you could care less about engines, you will still love it because there's just so much cross information going back and forth and the stories. Everybody's got a Warren Johnson story. Everybody's got a Bill Grumpy Jenkins story. Check it out, hiddenhorsepower.com. Big thanks to the folks at Nitrofish Racing for our WFO radio gear. And I just want to let everybody know that our WFO radio face coverings are now back in stock. So if you want a WFO radio face covering and some stickers for just $10, that includes shipping, I should raise the price. But I won't, at least for a couple more weeks since I just said it. Go to WFOradio.com. And I do want to say, like, hey, guys, you know, I can't not use this forum for what I deem to be good. It was good that we had so many race fans out there to show the demand for the sport and the passion for the sport. And it was good on many, many levels. And a lot of people were wearing their face coverings. They were, but some weren't. And it was just like, man, guys, let's just do it. Let's do what's recommended so we can get to the end. The analogy of spiking the football on the 5-yard line was recently thrown out there. Does anybody want another spike? No, I don't. I don't. I want to go to races. I want to be racing. I want to be thinking about all this stuff in, you know, June, July, August. I want it to be in the rearview mirror. I want it to be over. Well, if we can do everything and you just have to wear your WFO radio face covering, you know, why wouldn't you? Simple as that. But hey, I'll do me. You do you. You decide what you want. Also, our WFO radio Patreons, these are people who kick in a monthly, stipend to keep the show on the air. They're members, VIP listeners. And you can go to WFOradio.com, click on Patreon, and get all that added bonus content. There's a whole lot of added bonus content out there. All right, so what happened this past week? The Big Daddy Don Garlitz Hall of Fame went off without a hitch, had a great time with Garlitz and everybody there, hosted the deal, and it was epic. What a great way to start it all off. I know that there were some WFO radio listeners that saw Garlitz on the show and actually went out there and participated and came into the Hall of Fame. Thank you for saying hello. It was great. And, spending time with Garlitz talking about the Hall of Fame, you know, what is better than that? I was on the mic for several serious on-track incidents. And, call it a coincidence or if you will, but Jason Scruggs, hopefully, you know, Jason tore up some equipment, but that car will be back real soon, hitting the right side wall. Tom Bailey, one of the street cars, one of those 5-second street cars, wicked fire in the shutdown area. But the Jasmine Salinas and Brandon Pez, Dustin Nisloney incidents were very, very frightening and serious, but was so great to finish the interview with Jasmine on the starting line. And the young lady is as determined as ever. She said, lesson learned, and she'll be back out there. But wow, that one was wicked. And then the Brandon Pez, Dustin Nisloney Pro Mod incident that happened late night Saturday night. Wow. Ball of fire, flames, 2-car incident. But again, they both walked away and we tore up equipment, but the drivers were okay. Just a wild event all over, but a very productive and happy event for me as a drag racing fan to see all of you out there. All right, here's the final comments. Let's see what people have to say. How good was JR, by the way? Do you like Reinhardt first of the week, or do you like racers first of the week? See, this week on Thursday, I'm headed to South Georgia Motorsports Park. If you're in the area, come out. South Georgia Motorsports Park for the Southern Sportsman Showcase. It is a stock, super stock, big money race, talking about $50,000 to the winner of a 64 car shootout. And we'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday at South Georgia Motorsports Park, which means tomorrow will be our final day of broadcasting here on WFO. We will have Alan Reinhardt, and then we'll catch up with Matt Smith and Greg Anderson and Josh Hart next week. Check out these cool bobbleheads that Matt and Angie gave me, right? Look at that. I love when people think about decorating the WFO studio, and Matt picks up the win, of course. The Josh Hart story, and we'll talk about it with Reinhardt a little bit more, but this guy is amazing. But to me, what's even more amazing is Ron Douglas. And Ron Douglas, if it was another sport, this guy would have a job every single weekend. And I know he's got a job every single weekend maintaining Josh Hart's stuff and worked with Bob Vandegrift for years. But what must a crew chief do to be labeled one of the best? Ron Douglas, in his very limited opportunities, going back to the time at Vandegrift and even before that with Courtney Force, in his very limited opportunity, like, Ron Douglas is as impressive a crew chief as anybody out there. Look at what they are able to do. Josh Hart, just for those of you scoring at home, first round, smoked the tires, but then an 83, an 81, and an 82 to win the race. That's insane. We'll talk about it a little bit more with Reinhardt, though, but the 95th victory with Greg Anderson over Troy Coughlin. And GA is one of my championship favorites. And I always love to see Greg Anderson win because it's history. He's putting that marker out there, the winningest active pro stock driver, just two behind Warren Johnson now, 95 wins. We'll speak with GA next week on the show. At least we have a lot of time between the next race out there in Vegas. Four wide, the race is going to happen. That's what everyone's saying. It's just a matter of like how many fans will be allowed to attend, how many announcers will attend. And in pro stock bike, yeah, Matt Smith, the late race drama, flying Ryan Ehler, and Matt Smith, just a performance barrage, 200 miles per hour down the track every run. All four runs, 200 miles per hour, a big, big deal. And in pro modified, Jose Gonzalez over Justin Bond, and the Pro Charger cars, and Stevie Fast tweeting out pictures of Pro Charger sending him stuff in a box. Like, is everybody going to be a Pro Charger car real soon? Well, that's what Ricky said. If you didn't hear the Ricky Smith interview on WFO last week. All right, let's go back and check. Final comments. Final comments as we get up on out of here on WFO radio. Okay, Tyler was the guy who said, will Nomex Effect come back? And the answer is no. Question for JR. What low buck nitro driver do you see and think if that guy had a budget? Too late, race guitar. Like, we're talking to the guy for 30 minutes and you drop your question in the 37th minute. Too late, race guitar. JR has other things to do, man. This guy's a celebrity. He's going to hang out talking to WFO all day. But that's a good question. Let's think on it. Great job today. Great job at the Gator, says Monica. Thank you. Great job, Joe. Thank you, Jay. Let's see. JR is a great guy. Great show. I like JR a lot. I like JR a lot. I think that he still has room to come out of his shell more. But what he did on the top end after he won it should be a lesson to all racers. You must do something to show the world that you are excited because what you just accomplished is hard. The casual observer doesn't understand anything. You have to think about that first. The people watching don't understand how passionate you are, how challenging this is, or what it means to you. You have to show them. They don't just know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything. You have to show them. And when he gets out and does some sort of something, whatever it is, that helps. the person that just walks over. Yeah, I want another one. But, you know, we're not going to get too excited because the next race is coming up and we got to worry about qualifying for that one. So, you know, I know we just won, but we're not going to celebrate and we're just going to go back to work. Yeah, that's terrible. Don't do that. Never do that. How long has drag racers been doing that? No, like some sort of badge of honor for not celebrating victory. And it happened for 10, 15 years. Yeah, no, we're just hardworking people that we're not going to let the highs be too high. And so we're not going to celebrate our victory until the camera's off. And then I'll be happy. Let's see what else. Way to go, JR. When's the day we get a WFO sponsored car? Justin Ashley asked me for WFO radio stickers, and Mike Ashley put the stickers on the car, and they lasted one run because they blew off. WFO sponsored car. When are you going to sponsor WFO is the question. If there's going to be a transfer of money from someone to someone, what we have is a transfer of positive energy, Top Fuel 173. We shine the spotlight. We tell the story. I would love for there to be a big WFO radio sticker on someone's car so that more of those fans could come to us to hear about the great storylines and learn to love the racers a little bit more. But when it comes to finances, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully somewhere down the road when the Patreon list gets really, really big. Let's see. What's Joe's plans for the next month? Pro stock license? Yes, exactly. I'm going to get my pro stock license, Kev. No, I plan to do the window motors on my 2005 Pontiac GTO, both sides. I plan to do the window motors on my 1998 Pontiac Firebird, both sides. I plan to do the window motor on my 2000 Pontiac GMC, passenger side. So I got a whole bunch of window motors to do and sponsor stuff. We're really working hard to bring on some new WFO radio sponsors since we've got limited availability. We're trying to work on a couple of things. Patreon yearly yet. Monica, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to put it, you know, the $10 a month that you recommended. I'm going to do it yearly. And we got some cool swag too. Check out this thing. We got WFO. These are not stickers. These are patches. One of our listeners a long time ago said, Joe, you should get patches. And I said, why? And he said, you should get patches so that we can make our own gear, that we can put them on our shirts and we can put them on our hats and we can do it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to listen to that guy. And we got these WFO radio patches. You want some? Yeah, you got to reach out to me. We're figuring out what we're going to do. We can sell the patches. Or am I going to send them out for free? Are they going to go with the face coverings? How about this? If you order a WFO radio face covering for just $10, including shipping, today, I will throw in one of these WFO radio patches for free, just because you're you. It was nice to see you, Joe. Wish we had more time to chat, but it was a fun, busy weekend. You killed it out there in AR. Excellent. Oh, that's so wonderful. It's so meaningful. I have no idea who said that. I'm guessing it's the Flying Airbrush. It's just a guess based on the energy. Those were some very scary crashes. Yes, they were. Mask up and COVID. Thank you, Marvin. What's wrong with these people, Marvin? It's not over yet, guys. Watch the horror movies. Just when they tell you it's over, it's not over. There's always one more. Does that want to be you? And no one is telling you to stay home, and no one's telling you not to go to work. They're just telling you to wear the stupid face covering. Oh, man. You just triggered. You know what really annoyed me? Normally, I wouldn't tell you this, but I'll tell you right now. I shouldn't do it, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm there to do a job. I am working. I am wearing my face covering. And of course, I hate it. My glasses are fogging up and I'm breathing my own carbon dioxide a little bit. And it's a challenge. Nobody likes wearing the mask. Nobody likes it. I like when other people wear my masks, but nobody likes it. But when you have something to say to me and you're coming up to me to tell me the thing, and I need to know it because it's my job to know it. And you're not wearing a mask and you're going to talk right in my face and tell me something with your breath blowing all over me. And I have to listen to you. I have no choice. I could make a big production about it and tell you, stop, sir, you're not wearing your mask. You're going to have to go away and go get a mask before you talk to me. I could do that. But then what suffers? My job suffers. So instead, I know I just let you talk into my face and blow your whatever all over me. Why not just wear the mask, man? Make me feel a little bit better. Make me feel good about it. Nope. A lot of people blowing their germs right into my face, telling me their stories about qualifying. Great. Love it. Please. Please. Nope. They don't care about me. There you go. A little window into Joe's world. A little rant for you. Great job, Joe. Great to finally meet you Thursday. Yes, Dale. That was great. Love your car, by the way, bud. See you in South Georgia. Oh, cool, Greg. Come on out. It's going to be great. Dude is a beast. Yes. Top fuel bracket car right there. It was. McNeil, are you going to share some sportsman stuff? Like what? Yeah, the answer is yeah, all kinds of stuff. When we have Reinhardt on, we're going to talk about all sportsman stuff. I don't kill all our material there, McNeil. Where were you this weekend? I didn't see you. I saw you once after it was all over. You riding your bike through the lanes. But at that point, I was out. Who does that? I just won? Yeah. Great show, Joe. Sunday wearing WFO shirt is getting win in NASCAR League. Thanks. Way to go. Yeah, you got to wear the WFO shirt. I have a WFO sticker on my car. Thank you, Jay. Rock that sticker, baby. How about the tragedy in a neighborhood? Okay, everybody see the story about the plane that landed on the car? Everybody see that? That's 1 mile south of the WFO radio studios. North Perry Airport is an airport very close to the WFO radio studios. If you go to Google Maps, there's a street right along the airport. If you go to that street straight north, you know, mile and a half or so, the banner planes that go to the beach, they pick up all their banners at North Perry Airport. If you continue south, Miami Dolphins Stadium, the Hard Rock is there. And I just can't make sense out of any of it. You're 1 minute, you're riding in a car with your mom, and the next minute a plane is flying out of the sky and landing on you. It's just, what does it mean? It means that you should appreciate every second of every day because you just don't know. You don't know. And we talked about a lot of that on the Ignition Show. Question is, what the hell does Joe do to his window motors? Yeah, Joe owns old cars there, race guitar. Didn't you hear 1998 and 2005 and 2000? You know what else? I never use the windows. From what I understand, and I was told by a mechanic, from what I understand, that nowadays these window motors, the gears are made of a soft plastic. So if someone puts their head in the window, instead of crushing their head with the glass, it will shear the gears off. And in our very hot, sun-riddled climate, the rubber seals stick to the window. And so when you don't use the windows, which I never do because it's always air conditioner for the most part, it sticks the glass to the rubber. And then when you go to use them, it shears off the gear. That's what I heard. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Race Guitar, to do 6 window regulators. Let's see what else. That was me, Dujanay. Thank you, Dujanay. It was good hanging out with you for 14 seconds. I was a little nervous with all the non-mask going on at the track. Well, there was a lot of mask going on too. There was a lot, but there was a lot of not. And it all comes down to the person, whether they respect the people that are around or not. That's it. Do they respect the people that are around or not? When you come up to me and I'm working and I'm wearing a mask and you're not wearing a mask, that means you don't respect me. That's what it means. And maybe you don't realize that, but that's what it means. You don't respect me. You don't want to make me feel comfortable. I shouldn't do this. Someone is going to reach out. I hate the mask too, but if I want to go to the store or other places, I need to wear the stupid mask. I do it. Right. Right. And you're going to go talk to me. You got to give me vital information. You put me in a terrible spot. And I hope the people who did it are watching this. Because in the moment, man, I'm not going to fight with every one of you. I'm not. I'm going to just take it. And I did. I get crap for wearing a mask too, silly people. I'm with you on the face covering. There's no other way to be. It's not arguable. It's just inconsiderate. Nice job, says, let's say, love the rant. Yeah, wear the mask. Yeah, wear the mask. Well, no, you don't have to wear the mask. Carry the mask. Do whatever the hell you want. But when you come up to talk to me and you've got to give me some sort of information that you deem to be vital, at that point, you place it on and you come over and you say, and then we have an interaction and I feel great about it and I take your information. But I'm the bad guy. Cost about $350 to fix my white beater. Oh, dude, I did a Mercedes once. Crazy. Door bag, airbags in the doors. You got to let them discharge. You got to have this giant pop rivet thing. The German cars, guys, I know everybody loves them. You know, are they over-engineered? Are they poorly engineered? Are they engineered to make sure that a regular person can't fix little stuff? I don't know. I have two dinosaurs, a 93 and a 2000. Yeah, the dinosaurs, before all the technology, and I can actually do it. And it's going to take me about 30 minutes. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. That job is going to suck bad enough. One car, much less three. Yeah, it's going to suck, but I'm not going to do it all at once. Thanks for speaking about the masks. I'm right. Now, I am right. No, I am right. But what am I, what I'm supposed to do is what I always say. Hi, Nick. Thank you. Oh, Nick, my neighbor. Speaking of neighbors, who also lives 1 mile north of the plane crash. What's up, Nick? Say hi to your dad. Too expensive to fix anything. Yeah. And the person who had the Mercedes got rid of it because of the window motor thing. Like, it was a four-door. And we lost one. And now there's going to be three more that go. And it was a pain in the neck. The part was like $200. Let's see what else. What app do I need to use to get my name to show up? Yeah. Watch us on the page, not in the group. That's the answer. When you're in the group, by being in a group, you've signed on to some Facebook stuff. But when you watch on the page, it's a different story. So that's what I do. Let's see what some of the domestics require the same amount of tedious, careful work that Mercedes does mess with the windows. Yeah, I guess. I don't know which ones, though. Not the ones that I'm using. Not yet. Not yet. Who told me that an Audi, you have to take the door skin off? Like, what? To change the window regulator on an Audi, you got to take the outside skin of the door off? That can't be true. But if it is, never. Joe Famous rants. This is why you need to listen to the Ignition Show. Don't tell him, Kev. Don't tell him. I played straight on NHRA Nitro because I, you know, I'm in many ways representing other people other than me. On the Ignition Show, I'm representing only me. But in this case, I think it needs to be said. And if we're going to get through this next couple of months at the very end, while people, those who want to get their vaccine, do whatever you want to do. But when you see someone wearing a mask, you're going to think a thought, right? You're going to think a thought like, look at that idiot wearing the mask. He's bought into this whole virus thing. That's one of the thoughts that you may be thinking. Or maybe you're thinking, oh, there's a guy who's just obeying the rules, right? He's in compliance with his rules that is are mandated for him to follow if he wants to work. One way or another, I got to go talk to that guy. I got to talk to him. What am I going to, because I doubt that you're looking at me and you're not noticing the mask on my mug. I doubt it. So when you want to come talk to me at that point, that's when something should trigger and you should say, I'm going to put on my mask and I will go talk to him. That way he feels good about it. And instead, no, no, you're just coming. Here you go. And you're telling me your story and I'm listening to your story and I'm the whole time barely listening because I'm thinking about you blowing your COVID all over me. And how, you know, I got an older father and what I'm going to now, I got to wait 2 weeks to even see my dad. Right? Because, but does anybody think about any of that? No. Maybe we should have been a little bit more of a hard ass from the jump. Maybe we've been a little too, you know, too soft on people who are not abiding by the rules. Maybe. Deepenhawk, what's up, buddy? Look at this. He's the guy. Deepenhawk is the guy who came up with the patches. See? It only takes like 3 years, Deepenhawk. We get things done around here. You know, finally, we got WFO patches. And like I said, if you order a face covering right now on the WFO store on WFOradio.com, I'll throw in one of these patches along with the stickers. So you get the stickers, you get the patch, you get the face covering, $10. I'm paying shipping. I'm actually losing money on the deal now that I've just added it all up in my head. And I don't care. Do it. And Joe is on fire, rightfully so. Oh, yeah, there are things that annoy me all the time that I just bury. I put them in a little box and bury them down deep inside. Way deep inside. And then never talk about him again. Because what's the point? On this one, though, it is what it is. Thanks to J.R. Todd. Sorry to ruin your interview at the very end with a little of my personal stuff. But then again, hey, maybe it's beneficial to others out there. Who knows how this will be received, right? Maybe it's beneficial. Maybe that's exactly what we need. A couple of people get pissed off. Because, you know, I just don't see it. I put the mask like on my wrist and I have it. And when I need to breathe freely, I breathe freely. And when I need to have an interaction, here's the deal. But nobody thought about that, right? Like, you know, this guy knows that I'm, or maybe I was vaccinated or I had COVID. Well, I don't know. How do I know? How do I know what your situation is? You should have a shirt. Maybe you should have a sign. I have been vaccinated and I already had COVID and, you know, I can't wear a mask because of a breathing thing. Well, that's great. Alert me to your situation and we'll work out an alternate way to interact. But to just come up and blow your stuff on me and not even think twice about it, it clearly has caused some energy within me that has now spewed out all over the WFO universe. Sorry, guys. That's how it rolls. Marvin Rodak, what's he got? I've thrown out customers who don't mask. Thank you, Marvin. Yeah. And that's your choice. And that's their choice. Me, I don't have a choice to do that. I can't. Got to just take it. Count me in. Order headed your way. Way to go, Jeff. You'll get two patches, Jeff, because you came up with the idea. Thanks to JR. He's the man. You're going to be the next voice of NHRA when Alan retires. Yeah. Alan is never going to retire. And I like working with Alan. All right, everybody. That's going to do it. Thank you so much. Great day. Support our sponsors. WFO tomorrow. Alan Reinhart. We'll see you then. WFO! And wear your mask.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.